about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What is the future for the young generation?
What is the future for the young generation, Rodney?
Oh, I'm supposed to answer.
I don't know.
Well, the future is keep your radio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If you start a sentence with, not to be racist, but, well, you probably shouldn't have started that sentence. But if you did, here's how to finish. Not to be racist, but you make some great points, black person. I'll be on my way. Oh, and thank you for Michael Jackson.
Hello, Kevin and Bean, you cowards. I forced myself to listen to just a portion of your piece of radio show this morning. And it still sucks. Moron.
And now.
Well, we don't feel very respected.
Our feature presentation.
I love that guy so much. I don't know why. He calls and he yells forever at us.
It's a nice way to start a Monday.
It's a terrible, terrible show. But if you don't like a show, you just don't watch or don't listen. That guy is on it. He knows everything that's going on. And he calls and he yells at us for every little specific thing that happens.
He's going to keep listening.
I think
every
so, too.
Day. Yeah. Yep.
But I'm glad because I enjoy his updates. They're so full of energy and life. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday, the 16th of March. Just got back from Austin, Texas. I feel like everything went well over the weekend.
Oh, no. I'm so scared.
My alarm didn't go off. I got up about 30 minutes ago and rushed here.
Excellent.
And I think it's going to go well. I'd like to start today with a team of medical professionals from the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa. They have completed, they say, the first successful penis transplant.
Oh, no.
They wrote a long report on it. According to the hospital, they did not disclose the identity. The patient was 21 years old, who, and this is weird too, had his penis amputated after a botched circumcision performed when he was a teenager.
See.
There's so many things wrong with this story.
Nothing's adding up here.
Seriously, who gets that procedure done when they're a teenager? You get it done when you're a baby?
There are a lot of parents now, and I know a couple of them, that are giving their son the choice.
To choose whether
to choose circumcision or not. Because as a baby, you don't have a say.
Right.
Which is kind of the point of doing it, because then they'll never really remember it.
Right.
No, it's new parenting.
So they need to be able to make their own mind up?
Yep.
But as a baby, they'll also eat chlorine. So that's why they have parents to make up.
Sometimes as an adult.
To help them make up their minds on that.
Yeah.
Well, this apparently was only the second attempt. The first one took place 2006 in China. But they had to reverse it because the guy had all kinds of psychological issues.
Huh.
There's no more details on that. But this guy, the operation took place in December of last year. 3 months later, the doctor says recovery has been rapid. All functions are working.
Really?
Yes.
How does that happen?
I'm not sure, because it seems like there would be a lot of connecting that need to be done.
Yeah, very, what's the word? Sensitive.
Yes.
Areas.
Yes. Things. And super important functions that perhaps you need really to do all the time. But apparently it's happened. It's a new thing. You know what I'm talking about. It's a new thing, and it works, and they're happy about it, and it's like this is the new frontier. Penis. How crazy is that? Penis transplant. Let me back up. Penis transplant.
I like just penis.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, I don't understand at all the medical community or how they could possibly make this happen, but the fact that they did is unbelievable.
And where did they get the penis to then?
I didn't see that in the story. I don't know.
Did they kill someone for it, Kevin?
Yes, I heard on Friday that's probably how they do it. Yes. By the way, dibs on Liam Neeson. I don't know what kind of list there is, but I'd like to put my name on a list, because Liam Neeson is legendary.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't, and he's on my top three list of men.
Oh,
like,
really?
If he walked in right now and said, let's go.
Yeah,
okay, Liam.
He's legendary.
I didn't even know that, and he was top three.
And I called dibs.
All right.
So, I don't know if there's a list somewhere that someone's keeping
sure
story.
There is.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Jordan Rubin, who's going to come in. And he is the director of a new movie, which I could not be more excited about. It's called Zombievers. And it's just basically, you know, high school age kids go to spring break. They go to a cabin that someone, a relative, knew. And they jump in the lake and they're all skinny dipping and they're all having a great time like kids do. And then the beaver shows up and it's a zombie. It's a zombie beaver.
As they do.
Yes.
Sure.
And, it's, you know, it starts biting them. They all start running around, getting scared. It just looks like maybe the best, worst movie that has ever existed.
It's kind of a throwback, too, to like the 80s movies that you're
real
like, this
kitsch.
Is so dumb
real
and
kitsch,
it's so
real
amazing.
Cheesy.
I love it.
Yeah, it looks really good. So we're going to talk to him on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have some premiere tickets for Get Hard, which is the new Will Ferrell movie.
Weird timing with that.
Very excited about that. We're going to tell you about powder alcohol. I don't know if you heard about this, but on Friday they okayed, I believe it's called Palcohol, powdered alcohol.
Catchy.
Which, seriously, we need more ways to drink. I think that's the problem. So that's coming up today as well. And we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com as we do. It's 5:42. It's Monday morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53. Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
It's the Alley Cat and Kev Dog Show. That's what it is.
I don't think either of those
Alley
are
Cat,
stick.
I like it.
Nope.
Alley Cat and Kev Dog.
Nope. I like it.
Hit it, Kev Dog.
Kev Dog.
Yeah.
Kev Dog.
Yeah. Kev Dog. He's back.
I'm not sure Kev Dog is going to fly, but all right.
It's now and forever.
Chip looked it up on Twitter. I can't get that handle, so.
Yeah, it's been taken.
Kev Dog's been taken?
Yeah.
How about Kev Doggy Dog Dog?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Check that one out.
Yeah, all right.
How was Texas? Everything all right?
Texas was awesome and not quite long enough. Hard to believe.
I think it was just long enough listening to you this morning. Let's take a look at the showbiz news as we do every Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, no surprise here, Cinderella. $70 million made it number one this weekend.
Wow.
Did you see it?
I did not. My wife and daughter went. I couldn't make it this weekend, but they went and they loved it. They had a good time. But I think my kid liked the new Frozen short before Cinderella even more than Cinderella.
Oh, wow.
They got a new Frozen movie.
Understandable.
That accompanies it, so. But, Monster hit this weekend. Run All Night, the Liam Neeson movie, came in second place, but a distant second. $11 million as compared to $70 million. But 11 was still good enough to make it number two. Kingsman was third, then Focus and Chappie. The second Exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, was seventh. McFarlane USA, American Sniper, and The Duff. Rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Tara Reid on TMZ.com.
Guilty!
This week. She wasn't really charged with anything. However, well, maybe she's been charged with bad choices. She was at the gay bar called the Abbey last week and apparently was seen throwing hundreds of dollars onto the stage for the performers in the all-drag lip-sync show from a VIP booth. I don't know if Tara Reid really should be throwing away hundreds of dollars anywhere.
Maybe hold on to some of that?
I think maybe she's a little flush with her Sharknado success, but I have to tell her maybe that won't be around forever. Maybe you want to take some of that money and put it in the bank. Less in gay G-strings, more banking. Tara Reid. But we wish her the best, don't we?
We do.
This Pam Anderson-Rick Solomon divorce is getting uglier by the minute. Now, keep in mind, this couple has been on again and off again since they originally tied the knot back in 2007. Okay, this is their second go-round with marriage. And how could these people be together if this is the case, if what they're saying about each other is true? He calls his blushing bride a serial baby killer in court documents, alleging she's had a series of abortions behind his back during their marriage and should be locked up.
A serial baby killer?
She, meanwhile, claims he has spit in her face on several occasions, tried to smother her with a pillow while they were having sex last January, and frequently calls her choice names like crack whore.
If these crazy kids can't make it.
Right.
Come on, give it another chance.
Come
you guys,
on, you
just
guys.
See a counselor. Because I think there's some real love there.
Haven't they been on and off now for a while?
as I mentioned at the beginning of the story,
I know
they've been on and off since 2007 when they first got married.
Right, but I mean, I'm even talking about like this past year, like one of them will file and then
oh, yes, Pam Anderson filed for divorce and then she pulled back that document and then she went again this time for realies. And this is what they're saying about each other. So they are very much in love and I think they're going to work things out. I have a feeling.
I don't. I'm not sure that's going to make it.
Sad news. Gene, the dancing machine, is no longer with us.
The Gong Show?
Kevin, ladies and gentlemen. The Kevin Dog.
Kevin Ryder, what's going on?
Kev Dog. That's right.
Kev Dog.
Yeah, Kev Dog pulls it out. Gene, the dancing machine, was a recurring character on The Gong Show, the legendary game show produced by Chuck Barris and hosted by Chuck as well. Gene, the dancing machine! And then, he'd come out.
Is he a good dancer? I don't remember.
No, he was a very, very bad dancer. Okay. And that's why they seem to enjoy him so much. In fact, he wasn't a performer at all. Gene Patton was a stagehand at NBC. And Chuck Barris would see him dancing in the wings sometimes during the show. He said he never moved his feet. He just danced from the waist up. I always thought that was hilarious. So we started bringing him out on stage and made him a semi-regular bit on the show. And now Gene is gone at the age of 82. He will be missed. I wish Scott Disick would join Gene.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Take a ride with Gene, the dancing machine. Never ceases to amaze me how this guy does nothing except drink.
This is the boyfriend of who?
This is the baby daddy of Kourtney Kardashian. Kourtney. What do they have, three kids together, and he's just a low-life loser.
Were you just shocked even after the first kid? Didn't you just go, that's a terrible choice?
Yeah, and then he wouldn't sort of do the right thing by her, and then she would get furious with him that she had another kid and another kid. So here's the most disgusting part. He is set to earn, you know, he does this thing where he's one of those guys who just hosts events, VIP hosts events at clubs and nightclubs and things.
Right.
He's going to be hosting a night at the Crazy Horse Strip Club in Pompano Beach, Florida. First of all, they're flying him there first class. He gets a hotel suite. They're putting him up locally. Dinner's on them. And in addition, he gets a check for $50,000.
Oh, jeez.
That's his appearance fee.
50 grand.
To be Scott Disick at a strip club.
And to basically say, what, five words into a mic?
I doubt he'll even do that. I think he'll just set up shop behind a velvet rope and just booze all night and everybody can watch him.
I need in on this.
That's that gig too, right? Yeah. You need that gig. All right, let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. What a bunch of awesome people. a disparate group, but each and every one of them unique and fascinating in their own right.
All right.
Jerry Lewis, 89 years old today. The legendary comedian Jerry Lewis, who, to the best of my knowledge, has never called any heads of state, foreign heads of state, on the radio.
I don't even understand that reference.
Eric Estrada, 66 years old today. Eric Estrada, Ponch!
I've been told.
Ponch.
Ponch.
Is 66. Victor Garber.
Love him.
Of course, from Alias, and now The Flash. He's Firestorm. He was Jesus. And freaking Godspell, for God's sakes.
Freaking Godspell.
Freaking Godspell. Flava Flav is 56.
Sweet.
Lauren Graham is 48.
Love.
Actor Alan Tudyk is 44. He's got a new internet series he's raising money for on Indiegogo with Nathan Fillion, his old Firefly co-star. They're back together again. L.A. Clippers forward Blake Griffin is 26 years old today. Is he still in the NBA by any chance? Does he still play in
He's in the
basketball?
NBA. I don't think he's playing right now because of his elbow.
Came back last night.
Yeah, he came back last night.
How'd he do, Dave?
They lost by one. He actually had an offensive foul that could have taken the lead. And
nobody cares.
We don't need the full report. We were just
thanks so much.
That's your Clipper update.
That's one last night.
All righty. Shh, shh, shh. And actress Alexandra Daddario. Oh, come on. Did you see True Detective?
Yes.
Do you remember?
I don't know the bell situation here on her.
Oh.
Yeah?
All the bells.
All right.
All the bells. That's some weak-ass bells you got going on over there. But she was Woody Harrelson's girlfriend, the one he was cheating on his wife with.
On the couch?
On the couch.
Yeah.
With the handcuffs and the naked.
Yeah.
All the naked.
All the naked.
So much naked.
That was...
She is a lovely and talented actress, and I look forward to seeing more of her dramatic work. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's also Monday morning. That means we talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
It was good.
It was good.
I was strangely unaware of this, the jinx. The story of Robert Durst. Tell us about
this. Well, I mean, how do you tell the story? It's just, so it's this eccentric rich guy who whose wife disappeared decades ago. And then in 2000, one of his very good friends who allegedly knew that he had done this to his wife, she was murdered. And now he has been charged with her murder on the heels of the finale of the show. And in the finale, he confesses while he's peeing in the bathroom. He says, I killed them all. There was a third person. And he was found not guilty in that case, but he was peeing in the bathroom in the middle of this interview that he had.
And he's still mic'd up?
Yeah, the mic was hot.
Mic'd up and the mic is hot. There is no doubt in my mind that his lawyers are going to argue that this was an illegal confession, that he had an expectation that the mic was not on, that he said in the interview, I've got to go to the bathroom. So they knew he was going to the bathroom, but they kept his mic on. And I have no doubt this is going to become a dogfight. But the case where he was found not guilty is one of the most insane things I've ever heard. The short story of this is that he had a neighbor, and the neighbor disappeared, and he was suspected of killing him. He told the police that he shot the guy in the head in self-defense because the guy wouldn't get out of his house, and there was this thing going on, and it's in Texas, and there's a stand your ground law there. So if his story was right and he shot him in the head, then it would, and then everything, you know, it would be justifiable homicide probably.
Right.
But the thing is, they started finding the body parts of this guy in a river, and the body parts start popping up in these bags, and the sinister view of this is Durst, when he told the story, he realized he had to get the head because the head would be incriminating. He may not have shot the guy. He may have just killed him and cut him up.
Right.
And so,
but wait, back up. You don't just kill somebody and then cut him up. Like, that's a normal thing where you cut him up?
He says, I didn't know how to dispose of the body, and since it was justifiable homicide, there's no law in cutting a body up. No law against it.
But if you're shooting in defense of yourself, then you call the police and you go, I was shooting in defense.
But they never found the head to see if indeed, A, he shot him, and B, at what angle was it self-defense in that case.
They never found the head, and he was found not guilty. They had a trial, and he was found not guilty.
Now, and those jurors, though, they showed these jurors in Texas that were like, this poor guy keeps getting set up for all this stuff. Everyone's on his case.
Really?
Texas?
It is an amazing, amazing story. So now the LAPD has an arrest warrant out for him. He's in New Orleans right now. He's not going to fight extradition. On Saturday, they had him arrested. He's going to face charges for the murder of this woman. And he's on his way to L.A. soon.
Now, this happened last night, was the finale of the show. So basically, did the information that came out on the show, is that what the police are using against him?
It's unclear exactly, but I have no doubt that helped. I have absolutely no doubt. What I'm trying to find out is, did they know about the confession on Saturday? And my guess is yes.
Harvey, I understand the expectation of privacy in the bathroom, but in episode, I don't know if it was 3 or 4, he did the same thing where he was talking and his lawyer came in and said, your mic is hot. We can hear every word you're saying. Doesn't that set a precedent? Like, he knows when your mic is hot.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying what's going to happen, whether they're going to exclude it or not exclude it, but I can tell you there will be a dogfight over this.
So the name of the show is Jinxed, and it talks about the people that are dead and the trials that were brought against them. And then this past Saturday, just before last night's premiere, they arrested him again for the murder of this woman in 2000. That was his neighbor?
Yes. Not his neighbor. The neighbor was a completely separate thing, a guy in Texas. That's where he was found not guilty.
Okay.
This woman, Susan, was a friend of his who allegedly knew that he had killed his first wife earlier.
Ah.
And that he wanted to get rid of her because of that. So that's the woman that for whom he's been arrested now.
This is an insane
story.
You
have to watch it, Kevin. It's so good, and there's misspellings of the word Beverly Hills, and how did that come into play? It's so insane. You have to watch it.
I should say that the police got a note from the murderer, and the murderer is in these block – wrote it in these block letters. It's kind of bizarre. The cops now say that they have linked that letter to him.
Wow.
Saying the cadaver is located Benedict Canyon,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Amazing.
Is this a case where the guy has so much money and just wants attention, and maybe if he just keeps his mouth shut, he gets away with everything, but he just can't? Is that one of those situations?
I think so. I mean, why he did this interview, I would never, I can't even begin to explain.
Wow, that's insane. I'm going to have to go back and catch up on all of these episodes.
Yeah.
What a dumbass.
Or is he? Because now a lot of people are thinking he's going to get off.
Neighbor thing, which is just crazy.
Insanity. Galveston.
So a lot of people think that he might get off for the one that he just got arrested for on Saturday.
You don't know, but it's just the whole story is so insane.
Wow.
Just crazy.
There are a bunch of posts up at TMZ.com, as you know, and Harvey Levin comes on every Monday. TMZ airs on Fox Monday to Friday at 6. TMZ Live airs Monday to Friday at 4 on Fox. And then, of course, there's TMZ Hollywood Sports. Thank you, Harvey, for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Bye now. Jordan Rubin is going to be on the program a little bit later on today. He's the director of a new movie called Zombievers, which could be the best movie of all time.
It's got two great things, zombies and beavers.
Yes, and hot chicks. Oh, you already covered that. Sorry. Here's a new story out of New York. A powdered alcohol intended to be mixed into drinks has gained approval from a federal regulator. Powdered alcohol.
There are so many questions with
this.
There
are a lot of questions, but the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau said, you know what? This looks good to us. We're good with this.
Yeah. Four versions already okayed. Cosmopolitan, margarita, vodka, and rum. So you essentially just mix it into water or maybe the rum one into a Coke, and you've got yourself a cocktail.
Yep. But they're afraid, like, maybe underage people will get their hands on it. They're afraid. My first thought was, you know, concerts or sporting events that you can't take anything in. Now it's powder. Seems like it'd be a lot easier to take in.
Oh, I thought snorting. That was my first thought.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a given. I'm just saying it seems like it's easier to get into different places.
Yeah.
But we have a spokesperson for the company that makes Palcohol. They're calling it Palcohol on the phone now. Hi, who's this?
Hey, how you guys doing? It's David Hasselhoff.
Hey, David, how are you?
Hey, great. How are you guys doing?
I didn't realize you had anything to do with Palcohol.
Oh, sure. I'm the celebrity spokesperson for Palcohol.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Now, have you tried it?
I have tried it. I'm a huge fan. And so when it came to my fee for doing this, I gave them half Hoff. The Hoff loves to rock.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Are you sure you're the person that should be doing this? Because haven't you had just massive battles with alcoholism?
Yes, but that's with liquid alcohol.
Okay, but
this is very different. This is powdered alcohol. This is Palcohol.
Right, but does Palcohol get you drunk?
Hey, where do you get Hoff asking me that question?
Oh, wow. Now, are you concerned, or anyone else at Palcohol, that this is going to wind up in the hands of minors? Kids are going to be doing things like snorting it, all the different ways that kids are now working to get drunk. You're kind of making it really easy.
Not at all. Palcohol will be sold in a responsible fashion, just like alcohol is in licensed stores. So unless you're 21, you won't get Palcohol either. No need to worry about that. And it tastes delicious, and it's easy to use. Here, let me just have some right here. Ooh.
Again, maybe you're not the guy that should.
Oh, that's good.
Should be.
Alcohol's good, yeah. Oh, that's good. I love Palcohol.
Oh no.
Palcohol's my pal. Come on.
It works on Hasselhoff much faster than most people.
Really quick.
It's so good. I would pack this powder into every hole in my body. Every Palcohol. Pack a hole. It's called pack a hole. Pack it in your holes.
Got
okay,
it.
I think
yeah.
we get it.
Pack it in your holes.
Right, we get that.
Oh, this is a mess.
Oh.
This is a mess.
David,
I'm all right.
We didn't ask. We haven't talked to you in a long time. You're already drunk.
Oh, Palcohol.
Well, maybe.
I put Palcohol in my.
What?
Yes,
where?
In your.
In my.
in my all my holes. I love alcohol.
Okay. I mean, but isn't it enough just to drink it or swallow it or add it to any type of beverage?
It's enough for you. It's not enough for me.
Oh, I see.
I put it in. I put it everywhere.
Right.
I put it under my arms as baby powder.
What?
Keep me dry.
What? Does that help you?
No, but if I sweat, I can just suck my pits.
Oh.
Ooh, that's gross.
Nobody wants to think about you sucking your pits.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
You got a point there. I'm okay. I'm all right.
All right.
This is a mess. I have a talking car.
What? Oh, you have a talking car?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a TV show, though.
And I put alcohol in the glove compartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a mess. How much lower can I get this?
What?
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Are you still there? Mr. Mr. Hasselhoff, are you still...
Yes, I am still here.
You're still here, okay.
And I have
Okay. All right. Do you need help?
I need help.
Okay, we'll get right up. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it's Monday morning, so we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office here on the Showbiz Beat. As expected, Cinderella came in at number one. I don't know if they thought it would make this kind of money, though. $70 million made it number one.
Seems like if you can get all the kids, that's just, there's no end to it. You can just
look, there were a lot of, my wife took my daughter this weekend to go see it. She said there were a lot of women there, too, who just grew up with the Cinderella legend, and they wanted to see what this movie was about. It's in some ways, it is for women what superhero movies are for dudes. You get women of all ages to go see a movie about Cinderella, you know? It's about shoes.
Well,
it's about dudes and shoes. What more do you need to lure a woman into a theater than make a movie that's central on finding a man and finding the right pair of shoes?
And it's about cleaning. We know about cleaning too. Sure.
Not enough, I think. Maybe a little more cleaning, a little less yapping.
That's why we
what
got
do you say?
Punished,
right,
because
ladies?
We didn't clean right.
That's right. So you should be in. You should be in some sort of
Ralph.
Cell for not getting the cinders out of the freaking cinder box. Is there a cinder box?
I don't know.
Where do cinders go?
Not sure.
$70 million for Cinderella. Run All Night, the new Liam Neeson film, $11 million, made it number two. That's a big discrepancy between one and two.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kingsman was third, Focus, and then Chappie. Those are your top five movies at the box office. At number six was the second Exotic Marigold Hotel, then SpongeBob. At number seven, McFarlane USA, American Sniper, and The Duff, rounding out your top 10 movies. At the box office. Sad news. Gene, the dancing machine. Gene Patton from The Gong Show passed away Monday at the age of 82 years old. If you remember the old Gong Show with Chuck Barris, Gene would come out and just, he was a big, big man. A big man. And he would just dance without really moving his feet. And Chuck Barris thought that was hilarious. He was a stagehand at NBC. Who Chuck put on stage because he thought he was funny by the way he danced.
And he wasn't a contestant. They would show up for just no
just like
reason.
Just a cutaway. They would just, well, Gene. They would just like open the curtains. There he'd be just dancing badly. And then they'd cut to commercial. So
I love that.
That was a goofy show.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. Speaking of nonsense, Sylvester Stallone's working on a new TV show. He's going to produce a reality competition show.
About boxing.
No.
Oh.
Kevin, why don't you just stop it? You think you know things. It's called Strong.
About stronging?
About stronging.
Weightlifting or training or what?
It'll feature six men and six women looking to improve their fitness, and they'll be paired with trainers who specialize in strength and conditioning. And the series will chronicle the contestants' transformation as they get eliminated each week until a winner is named. Strong, but it's not strong, the word. It's S period, T period, R period, O period, N period, G period.
Really?
S-T-R-O-N-G. Start to realize our natural greatness.
No.
Yep.
Too much work.
That's what that
Too
stands
much work.
For.
Oh, no.
Don't need
strong.
It.
It's brought to you by the people who gave you The Biggest Loser. So basically, it's The Biggest Loser for people who are already in really, really great shape. Do I just say F you to all those people on that show?
Who wants to watch that?
Nobody. Except for Sylvester Stallone.
Who?
Sylvester Stallone. Don't mock me like I'm the Kev Dog, okay?
How dare you?
That's the Kev Dog's domain over there.
Oh.
Kev Dog!
How dare you?
Hit it, Steve!
Kev Doggy Dog!
Kev Dog!
When did that start? Friday? Thursday?
Chip hit the button and then Kevin hit it again and stopped it. That's our Kev Dog! That's the Kev Dog!
Kev Doggy Dog!
Kev Dog!
Kev Dog!
Not sure that's gonna stick.
That's sticking. You're the Kev Dog.
Kev Dog, dog.
Kev Dog.
And did you know you can't see Seinfeld anywhere on streaming outlets?
No.
Seinfeld's not on Hulu, not on Amazon. That deal is yet to be made. Apparently it is in negotiations now. Variety had an interesting story about any video on demand deal for the Seinfeld episodes that potentially each episode could be worth $500,000.
Each episode.
Each.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize there were still holdouts in that world. I just figured they all eventually went to, you know, streaming. Whatever.
Seinfeld has pulled in $3 billion in syndication revenue since 1995.
Wow.
But at $500,000 of each of the 172 episodes of Seinfeld, the deal would be worth $86 million for producers. Apparently, that's what Friends got when Netflix rolled out Friends. They paid $500,000 each for those episodes.
Wow.
That's what they're basing this estimate on. So, $86 million for a show that's 20 years old.
Isn't it timeless, though?
It really is.
It's really one of the best of all time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Very enjoyable. Did you guys deal with the L.A. Marathon traffic this week?
No.
Oh, come on now with this thing.
You love it.
We have a big stadium called the Coliseum.
Right.
Get everybody in there. Just have them run laps.
Just run around the circle.
That's all you need. You don't need to get in my traffic. You don't need to close my streets. Just run. Just run in a circle. You need to run so bad? Go run over there. Go over there where people run, where the running happens. Not where the driving happens. Driving here, running there. I'm not alone.
No,
Here's Eric from the 909. Wrote a very interesting email to me. Eric Trujillo. Ralph, as we all know, L.A. traffic is terrible from day to day. Being a delivery driver in L.A. and the surrounding areas, I know more than most. For example, having the president in town elevates that traffic to insane proportions. But another event that causes traffic to be out of control is the Los Angeles Marathon. And the marathon brings together people attempting to push their bodies to the brink of breaking. I understand that. And runners come from all over the world to compete in this yearly event. In fact, many of the favorites usually come from outside the United States. Many being marathoners from Zimbabwe.
No.
Hit it!
No.
I woke up from Zimbabwe. They're marathoners from Zimbabwe. They're marathoners from Zimbabwe. They're marathoners from Zimbabwe. Thank you, Eric, for sending that in.
I didn't hit it because I honestly didn't know what you said. You started laughing immediately.
Marathoners from Zimbabwe. You don't need to know. You just hit the button.
No!
Come on, Kev Dog. Do the right thing, won't you?
Kev Dog, dog.
Yeah. Kev Dog.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry Lewis, the legendary actor, comedian, filmmaker, all-around good guy. Doesn't sue people for no reason at all.
Ever.
He's always right.
Champion of women.
Champion, yes.
Nope.
I don't think women are funny. That's all I'm saying. What's wrong with that?
He's 89 years old today. Eric Estrada, 66. Victor Garber, also 66 years old. Flava Flav. Flava Flav! 56 years old. Lauren Graham from Parenthood and Gilmore Girls, 48 years old. Alan Tudyk is 44. Blake Griffin from your LA Clippers is 26 years old. And Alexandra Daddario from Percy Jackson and, more importantly, from True Detective. She is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about a half hour, we've got some tickets for you to see the new Will Smith movie, Get Hard.
Yeah.
Or not. Why are you shaking your head no?
Because maybe it's Will Ferrell.
What did I say?
Smith.
Will Smith.
Kev Dog!
Kev Dog! Kev Dog!
Kev Dog! Kev Dog coming through again.
Where did Kev Dog come from and when? Was it last?
Because there's nobody more Kev Dog than you, my man.
My man.
What's happening?
But Kev Dog.
Yeah. I came from the fertile mind of Omar Khan, DJ Omar Khan.
You're a Kev Dog.
He just came up with that one day. We said, yes, that's perfect. It's sticking. It's now and forever.
Kev Dog.
Kev Dog.
Now you have a theme song, so now you have to stick with it.
I guess Snoop is Lion now.
There it is.
Snoop Lion.
So he's sort of abandoned dog.
You've picked up the dog. You're the Kev Dog.
All right. Let's talk about other nicknames. Then we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. We do not always come up with great nicknames.
What are we taking calls about?
Stupid nicknames that you got stuck with and you hate, but they seem to stick.
Nicknames that you don't like.
Yes.
That you got stuck with personally.
I'm not positive I'm a Kev Dog.
What do your friends call you that you don't dig so much? Like Kevin apparently is not pleased with Kev Dog.
Kev Dog.
Not be
well. Look, I
in
love,
love
it.
With that.
I love it, but like, does it? Do I strike anybody as Kev Dog?
Yes,
absolutely.
That's what makes it funny.
You are more Kev Dog than anybody. You and Alley Cat over there are just
Alley Cat.
A perfect team.
You don't like Alley Cat, so there you go.
Just
sold. Okay. Here's the thing.
Now, the less you like it, the more it sticks.
Yeah, here's the
That's
thing.
Our motto.
The thing about nicknames is if you hate it.
I love that. We'd be like, oh, we've got to find something else for her.
If you hate it, it sticks.
Yeah.
Now, Omar, when did we start calling you O-Ring? When was that?
Oh.
Because I still think that should be a thing.
No. Luckily, that didn't stick. It was about 2 weeks into the show. I think maybe Ralph came up with it.
It was me.
Yeah. I think Ralph came up with it.
I have to take the blame for that one. But the O-Ring.
Was there anything that happened, or was just he strikes you as the O-Ring?
I think because Omar O-Ring.
Yeah, I get O-Ring. That.
Yeah. And I wasn't too happy about that. But
how long did O-Ring stick?
Oh, it was for about a year. Remember back in the day, I would not say a word. I would just be the guy in the corner, the creepy guy in the corner of the
good
studio.
Old days,
yeah,
exactly. Man.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say a word. So yeah, you guys would call me O-Ring for about a good year.
Can we go back to that?
No, O-Ring.
O-Ring.
I like the O-Ring.
All right, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh, he's had a bunch.
Dave has had a bunch. We call him the reason that he has the King of Mexico is because he has Mexican parents who speak Spanish
at home.
At home. And in high school, tell them your grades in Spanish.
Well, one, they didn't speak it at home, but sure. But I did fail all Spanish classes, all my Spanish classes.
Your parents don't speak Spanish at home at all?
No.
Never?
Well, no.
Not even to each other?
No.
Well, he's changing the story.
But. No, that was never the story. Yeah. But anyways.
But they're fluent.
No, they're totally fluent. My dad's from Mexico. My mom understands and speaks it. You know, I just don't. So
we call him the King of Mexico because clearly he's the furthest from the King of Mexico.
Can you fail? Exactly. How can you fail?
I failed Spanish.
Spanish?
So. Yeah. I got
you're one generation removed from speaking
Yes,
it.
Exactly. And I failed it and it was terrible. But the worst nickname that I had was Half Salad.
Half Salad.
Yeah, that was a terrible nickname.
That was Jimmy Kimmel.
Both were Jimmy Kimmel. And I'm glad that the King of Mexico came out because I love that so much. More than stupid half salad.
Here's the thing. We went out for a lunch with Dave, like maybe the first time we had
met
him.
Yeah, it was like one of the first weeks. And
we were sitting there and we were all ordering food and Dave ordered a half of a salad. And we were like,
Dave.
Not like a lunch salad, you know, where they have a different point. He ordered a half of a salad.
It was like, who orders half of a salad?
You were like a chick on a first date.
Yes. Exactly.
Like, how do you order?
I couldn't possibly eat a whole salad. No, it's way too heavy.
Crazy.
Hey, it was a Southwest chicken salad. It was quite filling.
But a half of a salad. Have some pride, man.
Order a salad. Just eat a salad. Order a half
Ordering
of one.
Ordering a salad
hey,
is
I
a little weak.
I made up for the future, right, in all future lunches.
You did.
I made up
for
a lot.
You can give a few salads.
Lightning was with the show for
forever,
20 years.
Way too long.
And how did you get the name Lightning?
I don't think
I even remember that.
It came from Bean, and I think because he thought I was really slow.
Oh, okay, yeah,
it was an ironic nickname.
Sure, yeah.
So that name sucked.
Uh huh.
But the one that really, because you guys were colossal dicks for many, many years, as you'll recall.
Were.
But they were just. They were just
to you.
Well, to everyone, I think.
Yeah,
back in the
we
day,
sort of were.
More,
yeah. Especially to Lightning, though, because he's one of those people that just sort of begs to be made fun of. He sort of forces your hand.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, and so I was in Chip's position for a long time, and I would just stand in the back of the studio and during commercial breaks, just say, hey, this is such a. Tell him about my life, right? Mm-hmm. And one time I told him, Kevin, a story about how my Shetland sheepdog had become ill.
And by the way, Lightning was so in love with that dog. Like, it was his soulmate.
My mother put the dog down because he was suffering.
Right.
And I didn't know that she had put him down. I just moved up to the Valley to be closer to the morning show here. Mm-hmm. So I went down one weekend, and I found out that she had put him to sleep.
She didn't tell him.
So they get her on the air.
How do you not tell
they
him?
They make my mother cry on the air.
You stop it.
That
happened. Stop it.
That happened, mother.
Kev Dog. Why would you do that?
I have the audio of it.
Kev Dog.
Wait.
Kev Dog.
Wait, she cried?
Yeah. And
you still have the audio of that?
I do.
Oh, good. We can use that for the Hall of Fame.
Please find it.
I do.
Okay, so they didn't tell Lightning that his favorite dog of all time has been dead now for how long?
A couple of days.
A couple of days. Okay.
And then during that call, they break the news to her that my new name is No Dog.
No Dog.
From Lightning. Your nickname was No Dog?
Yeah, is No Dog.
We called No Dog. We called him No Dog for about a year, I think.
Yeah,
for a long time.
Hey, No Dog.
No Dog.
That's so evil.
It was rough. It was rough.
Rough.
See?
Yeah.
Not all nicknames are the best. Not all names stick forever. No, but No Dog was strong.
It's simply evil, too. Right. Like, No Dog.
I mean, well, Half Salad was even just not even as good, but too simple. But we're taking your nicknames, 1-800-520-1067. You got the nickname. It's stuck, and you don't necessarily like it. Robert is on the line. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, thank
Robert.
You.
What's the nickname that you have that you don't dig so much?
Chunk.
From Goonies.
Yeah, like, believe me, man, like, people will bring me Rocky Road. You know, it still sticks to me today. I'm 31 years old now.
Wait a minute, you can call me Chunk if you bring me Rocky Road.
Kevin's
are you really ugly, dude, or what's going on?
Chunk wasn't ugly, he was just chubby.
He was just fat, right?
I'm thinking of the other guy. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. So you were just a little overweight, so they called you Chunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they make you do the dance?
One time when they held me down.
One time when they held me down?
Yeah, well, they didn't hold me down. They held me to a chair. They were like, do the shuffle. And I was like, come on, man.
Chunk shuffle. All right, Chunk. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Chunk, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Tracy in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, good morning.
Nickname, stuck. You didn't like it.
Yeah, T-Bone.
T-Bone.
Yeah.
Where did that
really cute
Tracy T?
School.
Where did Tracy that T? Her initials T, Kevin. So she's T-Bone.
T-Bone. So she could be T-Dog just as well, but T-Bone.
It was. It was T-Bone. It was also T-Dog, which is always cute in high school.
Hey,
know,
sure.
Girl.
How about T-Bag? Did you ever get T-Bagged?
That's a different thing, Ralph.
I'm just worried.
That's a completely different thing.
I've never been T-Bagged.
Thank you.
I'm curious to know if she's been teabagged.
All right.
Why have we stopped the conversation with T-Bone?
We could talk to T-Bone.
T-Bone, did you ever get teabagged?
No, not yet. But
all right.
Maybe.
You will now.
You can always look forward to that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, T-Bone.
Thanks, T-Bag.
1-800-520-1067. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Kev Dog, eat dog. Kev Dog.
That is the best theme song. I mean, for that reason alone, it's pretty good.
We forgot Kevin's real nickname, however.
What was my real nickname?
The one that you have and have had forever and continue to have. Every time we talk to your wife, she reminds us.
Oh, yeah.
You are Lammy.
Yeah.
Aw.
Lammy.
Lammy.
Lammy is your real nickname.
Shut up, Alley Cat.
Lammy. They call him Lammy.
Lammy
we
dog.
Did Lammy jokes for years.
Yeah. We did.
Lammy. His nickname is Lammy.
Right, but that doesn't have this.
Kev Dog, eat dog. Kev Dog.
Now all of a sudden I'm thrilled with Kev Dog.
But I think we used to have a song called Lammy.
Nope, never had that.
We did.
They didn't have that.
Lammy, they call him Lammy. We had that thing we played all the time.
Don't be ridiculous.
It happened and it's true and it's real.
All right.
Lammy.
Let's go to...
Lamb Dog. The Lamb Dog. Let's take them and put them together and make the best of both worlds.
Let's go to Brian in Costa Mesa. Hi there. Hello,
good morning,
Brian.
May, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up, Brian?
You have a nickname?
Yes, I do. Yeah, nickname that stuck with my cousin. My entire family's called him it for years. His original name is Dale. We've called him Dale Doe for several years. He's in his mid-20s now. Yeah.
You still call him Dale Doe?
Oh, still, yeah. My 13-year-old son refers to him only as that.
That's spectacular.
You're doing good work.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Caesar, who is calling us from Pacoima.
Caesar. With a name like Caesar, you don't need a nickname, man.
Hi, Caesar.
Hey, Kev Dog, me, Ralph.
What's your nickname?
My nickname is Monsterhead.
Monsterhead?
Yes. And it is a terrible nickname based in a terrible character in a terrible movie called The Hills with Paris Hilton.
Wow, you got a nickname from a Paris Hilton movie.
This,
that's
this
rough.
Character was a pre-op transgender hooker that they picked up. The main character was fooling around in the backseat, and they found out that she was a he. And I believe they slit her throat, and for whatever reason, that's what my friends have been calling me for like 5 years now.
Okay.
That just is
why do your friends
random.
Hate you?
Wow, your friends. You need new friends.
Thank you. I know.
All right. Monsterhead.
Thank you, Monsterhead.
There's a tweet from a woman named Laura. This is devastating. She's been told that she talks about things that no one cares about, so her nickname is Bean.
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. Now that's effective.
From Facebook, Ashley says, my family called me Crypto because one of my toes on each foot curl all underneath all of my other toes.
So she's like crippled toe?
Crypto.
Crypto. Aww.
She had forgotten about it until this morning, so she's saying, writing
that's
a saying.
Superman's dog. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Crypto.
Let's go to Justin in Los Angeles. Hi, Justin.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin Bean.
Hi there.
Allie.
Nickname that stuck. What was it?
Just Stone. And then turned into Just Stoned and Just Stoner. But that's I didn't smoke at the time at all.
That's just lazy nicknaming
that
right
is, that's
there.
Just weak.
Yeah. It is. That is. Actually, my favorite was Auto-Troll. Auto-Troll Hardcore, because I'm from Glendale, and I have a unibrow, so they're kind of making fun of the Armenian culture. Auto-Troll, it's pretty good.
All right. I like Stoner better, but okay. Thank you for the call.
Can we talk to Andrew from Long Beach? Because I'm fascinated by this, and I don't know where it could possibly come from.
Hey, Andrew.
What's going on, Lanny and Bean?
Andrew, what was your nickname in high school?
Oh, my nickname in high school was Butter Toast.
Butter Toast.
Butter Toast?
Yeah, this
is like a term of endearment. It's like what something like your girlfriend would call you or something.
Because
no, so I got this. I got this. Our nickname when, I guess everyone in high school, you know, they like to give you a stupid nickname with, for a stupid reason. So
right. I mean, that's sort of a given for this whole call-in topic.
Yeah. So I was in marching band and I brought buttered toast with syrup for breakfast once. And from then on, they called me Butter Toast for like the next 2 years, and it was. Not easy to get a girl.
That's
like
a weak
that.
Name.
Butter toast with syrup, though. Can I take a stab at what instrument you played?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Clarinet.
Tuba.
No. I actually played the cool instrument. I was playing snare drum.
Oh.
Snare drum.
All right.
But you were still eating butter toast and syrup for breakfast. Butter toast.
Things changed, though. When I got to, in sophomore year, I joined I joined water polo.
Right.
And, they started calling me Bear because I'm really hairy. So.
Wow.
Bear, wow.
Man, they've got their choice.
You have a string of bad nicknames your whole life.
Everything about you is a bad nickname. Let's see. Let's go to Francine, who is calling us from San Clemente. Hi, Francine.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you. Nickname. It's stuck. You don't like it.
I went to San Clemente High. My name's Francine, and of course, all my friends called me Francini Weenie.
Sure.
Francini Weenie.
Did it ever just get shortened to Weenie?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Man, that's not good. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sam.
People can be cruel.
In Santa Clarita. Well, I think No Dog pretty much is probably
that's
the cruelest
evil.
Of all. Hey, Sam.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Your nickname was what?
Sam.
Spam.
Spam.
Because your name's like, Sam.
Like the food. Actually, my little sister came up with it for no reason whatsoever, but now all my family calls me it.
I think they're doing the right
Spam
thing.
Spam is awesome.
Spam's pretty good.
Not only is it a great Monty Python sketch, but Hawaii loves you. It's their favorite, your favorite meat.
Big in Hawaii, yeah.
And I love Hawaii, so it works.
There you go. You and the Lamb Dog should get together and just hang out.
Lamb Dog! Lamb Dog! All right. 1-800-520-1067. We need to clear the lines. We're going to come back and we're going to give away some passes to the new Will Ferrell movie, Get Hard.
You sure? Sure it's Will Ferrell?
Positive this
right,
time.
If you say so.
And the name is Will You Know.
Will You Know?
Will You Know.
What could that possibly be about?
You're gonna have to know Will Ferrell movies, and you can identify him, and you can win the tickets, and then we're gonna do a grand prize drawing later in the week to go to San Francisco, and it's a pretty cool thing.
Coming up next on Lamb Dog and Alley Cat.
Getting some great entries for the opening act for April Foolishness.
We are very funny people,
but there's still time for you to get in. We need 2 minutes of you doing comedy. April Foolishness is April 4th at the Shrine. Tenacious D, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and Brad Williams, and house music from Mike Realm. And you get to open up the show. So go to kevinandbean.com for more information. Ralph, tell me about this game.
Well, we are very excited because we have passes to give away to the premiere of the new movie Get Hard, starring Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. Story of a millionaire who's jailed for fraud. He's bound for San Quentin, and he's afraid he won't be able to survive inside the joint. So he turns to Darnell Lewis, played by Kevin Hart, who is going to prep him for his time behind bars. Here's the thing. Darnell Lewis doesn't know anything about prison just because he's black. Why? He has no stuff about prison.
But I think Will's character does think that he does.
Oh, yeah,
know.
Because Darnell needs to believe that so he can take his money. Right. So he's going to bilk this guy for everything he's worth. Looks very funny. The movie is going to have its premiere on March the 25th at the TCL Chinese Theater. But more importantly, if you do win a pair of passes to the premiere, you will be qualified for a grand prize trip for two to San Francisco, including airfare, hotel, $500 in spending cash, and a trip to Alcatraz. See, because Alcatraz was a prison. It all ties together.
It does all tie together beautifully.
So what we're going to do is we're going to make you earn your passes to the premiere of Get Hard with a little game where we take a look at the movies of Will Ferrell. It's called Will You Know?
Will Ferrell, Will Ferrell, he's our man. Make me laugh, he sure can. Will Ferrell, Will Ferrell, he's our guy. More cowbell, turn it up.
Thank the guys from Sublime for making our new intro for this game. We appreciate that. Here's very simple. Here's how we're going to play the game. We will come to you on the phone, and then we will play you a clip from a Will Ferrell movie. All you need to do to win a pair of passes to the premiere of Get Hard is to name the Will Ferrell movie. And then
if you
do win, you will get entered into the grand prize, which, of course, is that trip to San Francisco.
Let's start with Jackie and Covina. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
Big Will Ferrell fan?
Yes.
All right.
We're going to play you a clip from one of his movies. You have to tell us which movie it is, okay?
Okay.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you do or say can be used. What's the next part?
Any guesses?
It's that movie.
The Other Guy?
Yeah!
Nice.
Wow, good pull,
well done, Jackie.
I would have bet against
her. I could hear the wheels turning. She's like, okay, that's a cop thing. Where do you play a cop? Oh, Other Guys.
Well
Boom.
Done.
You are going. You win. You're getting tickets to the premiere of Get Hard.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
I would have bet against that one.
She was awesome.
Let's go to Fred in Claremont. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Fred. We're going to play a clip from Will Ferrell movie. Stand by.
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
What's that movie?
Elf.
Yay. Elf is correct.
Well done for 2 for 2.
Nicely done.
And his name is Fred.
And
Fred Claus and Santa.
Which was a
totally
Vince Vaughn movie.
Different movie entirely.
Just saying, there's Santa involved. I hate myself.
Not so much from you, Alley Cat.
Nice call her three if
we can. Take it easy, Alley Cat. All right, let's go to Carl in Riverside.
What do you do, nephew?
Hey, Carl, hold on. Here is your clip from a Will Ferrell movie.
We're going streaking! Yes! Sorry, we're going streaking! Come on! Snoop! Snoop-a-loop!
Snoop-a-loop.
Old school.
Old school is correct.
3 for 3. Everyone's going to the premiere of Get Hard.
Get Hard. Yes. Ivana in San Clemente. Hi.
Hi.
All right, Ivana, hold on. Here is your clip from a Will Ferrell movie.
What is it, Chaka? What did you say?
Chorizo tacos. Chorizo tacos.
Chorizo tacos. Are you saying chorizo tacos?
Don't play around because I am super hungry.
I know that movie didn't do so well, but I love that film.
And look, here's the thing.
It made me laugh.
Will Ferrell could make any movie he wants, no matter how bad it is. You love watching him.
He makes me laugh.
Just always.
Ivana, do you know that film?
I don't think I do.
Take a guess.
Talladega Nights.
No. Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost.
Oh. All right.
Yeah. You'll recognize it because it didn't do very well.
You probably didn't see it, but still made me laugh.
All right. Let's go to Miriam in Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Here's your clip, Miriam.
Where are you going? Going upstairs. Because I'm going to put my nut on your drum set.
So underrated. I love that movie.
That's a great film.
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers, indeed.
Congratulations. You're going to go see the premiere of Get Hard. Hold on. We'll give you the details. We have one pair of passes left to give. So.
All right. Sudden Death.
Sudden Death. David. You win, you're in.
David and San Dimas, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, David, here is your clip from a Will Ferrell movie.
You have way too much pubic hair.
Actually, that's a point of pride. I'm very proud of my mane of pubic hair, so thank you.
You have man boobs.
I'm going to punch you in the ovary. That's what I'm going to do. A straight shot.
Ooh, ow.
Right to the baby maker.
What's the movie?
Oh, that's the best. It's Anchorman.
Anchorman. It's the legend of Ron Burgundy. Congratulations to all our winners. You guys are all going to go see the premiere of Get Hard on the 25th of March. And you're also entered in for the grand prize, a trip for two to San Francisco, thanks to the folks from Get Hard.
Man, thank you for playing Will You Know?
Will You Know?
.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51. Coming up just after 8 o'clock, we have Jordan Rubin, who is the co-writer and the director of a new movie called Zombievers.
Good for him.
And it looks like it may be the best movie of all time.
Absolutely. Well done.
So that's coming
up. There's a guy who said, Zombievers. I'm going to go make that movie now. I just came up with that thing, and now it's going to become a thing.
And they put the trailer on YouTube, and I think it's been seen like over 4 million times.
Because it's just a sweet, sweet, sweet gag.
It's awesome.
That's all.
It really is.
It's
awesome.
Just beautiful. I have endless respect for people who come up with an idea like that and then just make it happen.
It's going to sweep the Academy Awards next year. Mark my words.
All right, easy.
No?
Easy.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's a Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. I know Zombievers will be up there soon, but as of right now, Cinderella is number one at the box office. $70 million made it number one. Run All Night, in its debut, the new Liam Neeson action film, came in at number two with $11 million. Bit of a difference there between one and two. Kingsman, The Secret Service, $6.2 million, made it number three. Then Focus and Chappie were your top five movies at the box office. Second, Exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth. SpongeBob, McFarlane USA, American Sniper, and The Duff were your top 10 movies. At the box office this weekend, sad news. Gene, the dancing machine, has passed away. Gene Patton was his name. He was a stagehand at NBC, and he used to work on a show called The Gong Show, and producer host Chuck Barris would see him shuffling his large body in the wings to the music, and he thought it was hilarious. So he brought him out and let him dance there on the stage, and everyone would throw things at him, and he didn't care. He had a big smile on his face, and he was Gene, the dancing machine.
Gene, thanks so much.
Gene would come out there and just shake his ass. For good times.
What a weird show that was.
That was goofy. And Omar and I were watching in the other room pulling this clip. We're like, why is anything like this on television now? It's just nonsense. Just silly, silly nonsense.
Well, I mean, it's sort of America's Got Talent, but in a much, much, much lower.
But the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, the worse you were, the better they liked you. They would bring out the worst singers. It was like the Armenian comedians of the world would populate the stage of the Gong Show. There'd be three celebrity panelists, and they had a giant gong behind them. And if you sucked so much that even they couldn't bear to watch the end of your act, they would get up and hit the gong, and you would immediately would be shuffled off stage.
It was pretty strong.
It was a great idea and a great show and very entertaining.
Then that guy started killing people for the CIA.
That's right. He was a spy.
Yep.
You ever see that movie, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, based on the book?
I did.
Yeah.
He claims he was an assassin for the CIA.
Right. While he was producing like the Dating Game and other game shows, he would go and then kill people for the government.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Of course you do, Alley Cat.
I don't feel like Ralph has a cool nickname.
I got nothing that ever stuck. People have tried for years to give me nicknames, and nothing has ever stuck.
We got to come up with something.
Like Ralph Mouth?
Yeah, that was okay. Part of it for a while, back in when Happy Days was still a thing.
I'm very topical, Ralph.
I know you
That's
are.
What That's what I'm saying.
It was a good reference.
How dare you.
I
hate it here.
Gisele Bündchen is retiring after 20 years as a supermodel.
Oh.
She's given it up. She is stepping down, no longer working as a supermodel.
Up until this point, wasn't she still one of the highest paid?
Absolutely. If not the highest paid.
One of the biggest money-making models of all time. But apparently she's decided she's looking forward to learning some new skills, like eating. She's going to try that, see how that works out for her. And we just mentioned America's Got Talent. Nick Cannon, the host of that show. Did you know he is has an extensive collection of tattoos and body art?
No, I don't think I've ever paid any attention to him.
I mean, certainly they don't show. I guess I'm assuming he's got it under his clothes. But he just got a brand new one, according to TMZ.com, which is a full back tattoo featuring Jesus on the cross with the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Okay.
He's really religious. Could apply to his whole career, quite frankly. But it took 30 hours to tattoo. It's a lot of commitment. That's a lot of time.
He doesn't strike me as the religious type. Huh.
Maybe just likes guys wrapped in loincloths hanging off the crosses. You don't know, man.
I didn't think about that. That's a strange thing to like, though, don't you think?
But 30 hours, someone tattooing on your back. That's commitment. That's a lot. You know what else is committed? Sylvester Stallone. He's got a new competition reality show he's producing called STRONG. That spells strong, but it stands for Start to Realize Our Natural Greatness. That sounds like abuseism. That sounds
it sure does.
Yeah, you know what strong stands for? STRONG.
And then he makes it up as he goes.
Yeah, Start to Realize Our Natural Greatness. It is from the people who brought you The Biggest Loser, and these are going to be six men and six women who are already in great shape. They're looking to improve their fitness, so they'll be paired with trainers who specialize in strength and conditioning. So it's like The Biggest Loser for people who don't need any help.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
Just saying. That's not a great idea for a show. Last time Sylvester Stallone was involved in reality television, it was The Contender. Remember The Contender was a reality boxing show with Sugar Ray Leonard.
That's right.
That he was a producer of. So...
that didn't exactly go out on top.
Not exactly. Empire.
Yeah.
Massive hit TV series. Keeps getting bigger every week.
Only one left, right?
Yep. Yeah. 2-hour season finale.
And you know, this show is starting to draw some serious attention from big name guest stars who want to appear on it desperately. Now, Lee Daniels, creator of the show, said that Oprah Winfrey will be participating. He's writing a part for her in season 2 and said she's going to be on it. And Common... also, apparently, he's writing a role for Common as well, who will be joining the series next season. So, you're going to see a lot of guest stars.
It's one of those things where everybody sort of waits, and then when it's a hit, they go, hey, I'll be a part of
it. I'll be on that.
Sure. Write me a part.
And, Kevin, I know how you hate I know how you hate it when celebrities save lives.
Well, I hate it when they don't save lives, but then they put out a press release.
You want celebrities to murder people.
Taking credit for it.
You hate when they save lives. But Josh Brolin, apparently, is a real-life hero. TMZ.com has video of him saving a surfer's life off the coast of Hawaii back on February the 27th. The guy had been pulled out to sea by a monster wave, so Josh Brolin grabbed his surfboard's leash and his leg and pulled him in all the way to shore. Swam in with him behind him.
All right, I'm down with that.
You're gonna let him?
Yeah.
It's okay with him?
I'm not happy with the celebrity who was a half a mile down the beach and went, oh yeah, I was there. I helped that guy.
Because there's video, though. You totally believe it.
I'm just saying.
Kevin hates life.
Sometimes people exaggerate.
Speaking of life and death, one of our listeners, Chad Eberhardt, is a lawyer. Specializes in criminal law. Fascinating life he leads. Great email. He just sent this in. Longtime listener here. I'm a lawyer in the Redondo Beach area. Specializes in criminal law. Recently, a South Bay resident who makes a living importing wine and spirits retained my office after he was arrested for petty theft. He could not afford the entire retainer fee up front, so we agreed upon an installment plan. After a few court appearances, his case was settled, and he avoided serving any jail time. But when it came time for the final payment, the thief paid me in Bacardi. That thief paid me in Bacardi. Chad Eberhardt, Esquire. right there.
Yep.
That happens.
Do you write all those?
I write none of these.
Seriously, do you sit in there and go?
I don't write any of these.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer, and my name is Chad.
I write none of them. These are all from the fertile minds of our very talented and lovely listeners.
When do we get the swing and a miss? When do we get those emails? Because you get a lot of those.
I get more bad than good, I'll tell you that much.
So we need a segment where you bring in the attempts.
Yeah, maybe we should just do one break where I just read you off some of the fails. Just some of the Bugatti fails.
I would love to hear that.
Burn through those. Today's celebrity birthday is Blake Griffin from your L.A. Clippers. Returned last night. He's 26 years old today. Alan Tudyk is 44. Alexandra Daddario. Boy, that's... Where's the bell? Where's the freaking bell? Ring that bell.
My bad.
She's 29 today. See True Detective? See her in that?
Yeah.
She's going to be in the new San Andreas movie with The Rock.
All right.
With Dwayne Johnson. And... our producer, Half Salad, says he's going to try to get her on our show. I hope that happens.
Make that happen, Half Salad.
Lauren Graham's 48 years old. Victor Garber, my favorite actress, is 66. Eric Estrada, Ponch from Chips, is also 66. Legend Jerry Lewis is 89. And another legend from Public Enemy, but you may know him best from his series of reality television appearances. He is Flavor Flav, Flavor Flav! He's 56 years old today.
Oh, the echo.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are happy to welcome Jordan Rubin to the studio, who is a great, great American.
Hello. Hello. Can I clap for myself?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Zombievers.
Zombievers.
First time I saw that trailer, I just thought, oh, dear God, this is so awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Such a throwback to the great... But 70s, was it?
Well, there's the Roger Cormans, then there's the 80s, there's, you know, everything from The Thing to Gremlins to, you know, there's a great history and lineage, but I think this movie is the most important movie you'll ever see about zombie beavers.
How did this movie come about? Is it true you came up with the title first?
We did.
You just said, that's such a great title.
Right.
Let's make a movie about it.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to my writing partners, and I said, look, we should make a zombie movie or a beaver movie. and then they said, look, what about both? Can't be possible. It can be possible.
Genius.
Genius, yeah.
So good.
I fell over laughing, and they had straight faces, which made it even funnier. And then that's when I realized, look, if we just play this completely straight in the face of the absurd conceit, as it were, then we'd have fun, and we did.
I feel like a lot of people miss this. It's a fine line to walk where it's funny and stupid, but you sort of mean it seriously, but you know that it isn't.
First of all, how dare you?
I'm saying it looks like you did it well.
Yeah, thank you. No, if you think it's a fine line, you should have seen us pitching it, because we'd go into these different rooms, and it would be like, it was either like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard, or get out of my office as quickly as possible.
Could you tell, like, halfway into the first sentence, oh, I already lost him. I already lost whoever I'm pitching. I already lost that.
I think I would start the pitch out with, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah?
Because they knew the title going in, and most Zombie people Beavers? Don't read scripts. Yeah.
How many times did you pitch it? How many times did it get turned down?
I would say it got turned down without even a meeting about 30 times. And then in the room about 5 to 10 times. And then we finally hooked up with this company, Benderspink and Armory, these two companies that Benderspink's done, like The Hangover and The Ring and The History of Violence. We're the Millers. And they got it. And I think it was fun for them to do a low-budget movie because they'd done these huge studio films. And this was just small, and it got to get their hands dirty.
What? For people that actually enjoy horror films, this really follows the traditional horror film sense. You know, they go away on vacation. It's just a time to bond. And then you're attacked by beavers.
Sure.
A lot of hot chicks, a lot of nudity.
Yes. Yeah. I think that you guys summed it up in the most polite way of saying that's hacky that you can. No. That's a traditional. You guys didn't really pull any point. No. It's an homage or a love letter to those early 80s, you know, as we were talking about 70s films that I grew up on, especially in the use of practical effects and not using a lot of CG, like the sci-fi kind of things where, you know, we were shooting with these actual animatronic beavers.
That made great faces.
Yes.
Great scary faces.
I understand you had one beaver in particular that was like the go-to beaver.
The hero beaver, which I like. I pretentiously like to call Bruce because that's what Spielberg called the hero shark on Jaws. But it would take 20 to 30 minutes to get him ready because there were so many puppeteers and animatronics, and we were shooting on such a tight budget on such a short schedule that I would often have to resort to the puppet beavers, which could be ready in a moment. You just put your hand up its, you know, rear.
Sure.
Tell me.
And so in the edit, as I was walking in to edit the film, I was thinking, oh, no, there's going to be a lot of just the puppet. It doesn't look as good as the hero, but it kind of played to the comedy, and it was good in a Gremlins-y fun way.
Describe the plot for people, and I want to play some of the clip, of the trailer.
It's basically a bunch of these horny kids. These girls go out to this cabin, actually to get away from one of the girls' boyfriends had cheated on her. So they're like, let's just do a girls' weekend away. They sneak away. Spoiler alert, the guys show up. Spoiler alert, zombie beavers show up.
Well, I don't think that's spoiled because it is the name of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good call.
I mean, I think like people, if they don't know it's about zombie beavers, then we have other issues.
Sure.
Yeah.
They need to get their head examined.
Here's the trailer.
Here we are. Home sweet home. Make it rain, bitches.
What is that? Looks like a beaver dam. Let's go take a look.
You girls from out of town?
We're staying over there in my cousin's place. We were looking for beavers.
Well, hell, ain't we all?
Well, I've had enough excitement for one day. What was that? Someone in there?
There's a beaver in the bathroom! Kill it!
Yuck. Can we please go swimming now? Ever occurred to any of you that there might be more beavers?
But it never occurred to anyone.
The f***? Blood?
Holy never seen a real beaver before, close.
Well, maybe you should try to but...
We cannot turn against each other right now. That is exactly what the beavers would want.
Beavers are generally more active at night. Their road's locked, they sure as hell can't get through on foot.
Suck a bag of
Oh, there's no way I'm jumping up for this.
Like the name wasn't enough.
Sure, you had to lay that in. Yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, when he says that's just what the beavers would want.
Right.
That killed me.
Well, the thing is, the thing I like about the film, if I could say that about my own film,
sure.
is it's not trying to be something that it's not. You know, you see the poster and you know this is an autobiographical film that's going to the Oscars.
That's true. I mean, it will sweep.
Sure.
I mean, that's a given.
Yeah.
Even though, are you worried that you're releasing it too early in the year for it to get Oscar consideration?
Well,
you think it's
just
strong enough to hang around?
I don't know. I feel like if I just get Harvey Weinstein behind it eventually.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, no, I think you know, yeah, we have an early start, but we have a strong contender on our hands.
It's in select theaters this Friday, and it's also on iTunes and on video demand.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Everywhere, yeah.
Jordan Rubin is here. The movie is called Zombievers. We need to take a break. We'll come right back. We're talking with Jordan Rubin about the movie Zombievers, which to me looks like it might be the greatest movie of all time.
Oh, and that says something about your taste, and it says great things.
Now, you told us in the last break that you got turned down, what did you say, 20 or 30 times without even taking a meeting?
Yeah, and I think I was trying to play it cool. I think it was more like 40 or 50 times, yeah.
At any point did you go, how do I think this is so awesome and nobody else even will take a meeting?
I think it was just blind courage or whatever the right term is for that.
Get frustrated with
I
them?
I got frustrated at a point, and very early on, I attached this producer, Evan Ostrowski, who had done the original Cabin Fever, and he got it, and he was on board with me. And I think he was instrumental in the point at which I would probably normally, as my personality, go like, yeah, this isn't going to work. He just goes like, let's go. Who are the next producers? Let's get it out there again. Come on, round two. Yelling at me, yelling at my agents, and we got people biting, and it was like, oh, well, okay.
Wow,
yeah, you just
got to
push, push, push.
It's so crazy because it seems like such a throwback. There's such a history of this type of movie. It seems like it would be easy to get the concept of. And
I bet it's a little harder now. When we were shooting, you know, this we've been in production. It's been 2 years. And when we were shooting, that's when the first Sharknado came out. So then since then, all the press wave has been pun intended, but it's been what are you getting on the Sharknado bandwagon? It's like, no, we were shooting back. We weren't. But now it's kind of oversaturated with the creature features.
Yeah, but this is not a creature. This is not like a mixture of something. It's just
this isn't like a zombie
a beaver
and a beaver.
A zombie.
Yeah, yeah. <It's>
just, Kevin, actually, it is.
It's a mixture. Okay, it is.
Yeah.
Sure. It was funny because we premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, which was awesome. But they sort of did it as a, well, we're going to do this outside the box. You know, this is going to be, this is not our normal film. Right. So we went there with Zombievers, and I meet all these other directors, and they're just like, I'm like, what's your movie about? I did a story about the girl who escapes from her village in medieval Russia. And what I'm like, oh, yeah, well, mine's about Zombievers. And it's like, were you like, all right, they just leave. Like,
were you
okay,
a little worried? You know what? Don't worry about what mine is.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna...
yeah, it's like, yeah, similar thing. Yours is great. Talk soon. Talk soon.
Now, do we know, is the question answered, how do the beavers become zombies in your movie?
I think it's hinted at. I think it's very openly implied that it's through a bite, scratch, or maybe some saliva dripping.
Okay. Hmm. No, but I'm saying, how do they become zombies in the first place?
Oh, yes.
Chemical
actually,
waste,
right,
radiation.
Right. Oh,
what's
I see what you're hinting at here.
Yeah, what's the,
heaven, well done that you even went there.
Thank you.
Impressive. Yeah,
does, John Mayer and Bill Burr have cameos in the film as chemical truck drivers.
Okay.
And they are driving along a route, and they may or may not hit a deer, and they may or may not lose one of the chemical barrels that goes spiraling into the water.
I see.
And that may eventually lodge itself in a beaver dam.
Okay.
As it does.
As right. One, yeah.
Well, that was very vague. I'm sure nobody will really
know. No one
know
will figure out. Yeah.
How it happened.
We actually lost one of the barrels. We shot the barrel going down the river at the Kern River upstate here. We lost one, and they called in a bunch of FBI, and they said they spent $100,000 on national security because it said chemical toxic waste on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That means they didn't break anyone, right?
I mean, apparently honestly. They brought this lawsuit. It got settled. Everything was fine. But I was editing the film, and they said, this is a weapon of mass destruction. Because, like, is anyone...
But did you say, yeah, it says chemicals.
Well, if you look closely
on it, there's
no
chemicals on it.
It says only toxic to beavers.
But they couldn't look closely at it because it was in the Kern River.
Right, and because it had chemicals on it, so yeah. They didn't want to touch it.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
So you have John Mayer and Bill Burr.
Yeah.
How did you get them involved? Did they just are you friends with them? Or
I've worked
them?
On a show with John Mayer, and he's – I knew he was funny. And
He seems to have a really good sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's funny, and he's, you know, he's great at improv, and he's great at, you know, scripted stuff too. And I said, would you be one of these chemical truck drivers? I sent him the script, and he goes, yeah, as long as we both agree that the other driver is someone that we both think is really funny. And I did stand-up for years, and I called Bill Burr because – John and I both love his stuff, and he was like, I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah, have me a beaver.
Bill Burr is really – he's really coming on in a lot of movies.
Yeah. He's doing a lot of films. He was telling me he did some radio show recently, and he was promoting some other film. And they were like, yeah, but let's talk about the Zombievers.
Because that's what he cared about more?
Yeah, because it's hard to not – you look down someone's resume, and you're like, well, wait, hold on.
That one sticks out. Just a second. Tell me about the Wednesday night premiere that you're having and how people can go.
Oh, yeah. So Wednesday night we're having, you know, the movie comes out this Friday, the 20th. But on the 18th in L.A. here downtown at the Ace Hotel, I decided I wanted to have like an old school big premiere where the cast is there. But also anyone, you know, general public can go. I said we have to keep the tickets, you know, cheap. But they were like, we still have to pay for the theater. So it's only $10. But anyone can go. And it's awesome. And come see the cast, hang with the cast, watch the film with us.
Is it going to be Q&A?
There'll be a Q&A after and big party there in the theater. It's the old United Artists Charlie Chaplin Theater. It's this beautiful theater.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's a pretty cool theater. We have 5 pair of tickets, too, to give away for the premiere of Zombievers.
Nice.
Wednesday night, Ace Theater. Tickets are available, by the way, at acehotel.ticketforce.com.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Ace Hotel. Or just go to the Ace Hotel's website too, okay. If you have trouble.
And you can buy those for – we'll give away 5 pair of tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067. Now, you said it was made on a low budget.
Yes.
Can you tell – do you mind telling us how much and how you do that?
I would say –
is it a difficult process?
That was a lot of questions. And yeah, I'm very
sorry.
Dumb.
Okay.
No,
let's back up.
Okay. No, it was made. It was under $2 million, which sounds like a lot of money to me, but is not a lot of money in movies. And we shot it over 20 days, and basically you just run and gun, and you do a lot of prep, and you shoot for about 18 hours every day. And
then when you get to the end of that, you go, I don't even know if we have a good movie because there's so much.
Well, you're less concerned with that. You're more concerned with, did I get all the coverage? Is every scene going to make sense? Is there an entrance? Is there an exit? Can I cut this together? And, you know, I spoke, thank God, to Eli Roth because I went to college with him, and I just asked for any advice before doing it. And he was just like, just get your coverage. Don't worry about, you know, it's your first film. Don't worry about these amazing shots. Don't worry about, you know, just get, you know. And coverage being, you know, every angle, and so you have enough to play in the edit, and hopefully, and it went well.
Then you release the trailer, and you, so far, 4.4 million hits.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's insane. To me, I never know what's viral anymore. I don't understand, but that seems like, in the first week, it hit a million, and then it slowly
that's
built
viral.
To 4
that's
million.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think it had a good, and, you know, it's interesting just as I look at it, that, you know, John Mayer and Bill Burr not even mentioned when we dropped that trailer. So you think
it was just a name for me.
Yeah.
I saw Zombievers. So I was like, oh, I'm in.
I'm clicking.
I'm all in.
So that was fun. And I think part of it was just, you know, I talked to a couple comedian friends, had them tweet about it. Then they actually liked it, so they'd write more about it. Then other people started picking it up all around the Twitterverse.
You had people tweeting before they knew they liked it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was. I think early on I was like, hey, do you mind just throw – I know you have 30,000 followers. Will you throw it up in your – then it slowly built.
And nobody said, I haven't seen it yet. They just said, yeah, sure.
I think they watched the trailer before, yeah.
Look, once you see the trailer, you're in.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no possibility you will not love this movie.
And once you see the movie, you're in too.
Yeah. Well, look.
Hey, is that good marketing or
– I think that was really well
okay,
done.
Okay.
Yeah. Jordan, thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I looked at the trailer. I tweeted it. And then your friend Jimmy Kimmel said, hey, if you're serious about this, you need to have this guy in.
Right.
Absolutely.
In between that, I nerdily went through Twitter and found your tweet.
Oh, you
was
did?
Like, oh, my God. As I forwarded it to Jimmy, because I wrote for Jimmy for a couple of years, I said, Jimmy, I think he might have me in, please.
I couldn't have been more excited.
Yeah, thanks.
The movie is going to be awesome. Wednesday night is the screening.
Screening at the Ace Hotel, yeah.
Friday it comes out at what theater? Do you know, here in L.A.?
Here in L.A., it's at the Los Feliz 3.
Okay.
And then it's all across the country. Tempe, New York, a bunch of cities, 12 cities, and then also on VOD. So Xbox, iTunes, on demand.
All on Friday.
Yep.
Best movie of all time. That's my prediction.
Oh, thank you. That sounded a little facetious.
Best? Nope. You don't
sarcastic?
Know me. I'm totally serious. Okay. I love this kind of movie.
All right.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
I don't know if you saw this, but astronomers believe that they're hearing sounds that may be from another Earth, another planet that is very Earth-like.
Yes.
That can support life.
Supposedly, they dismiss these sounds as something called stellar bursts, which I don't even know what those are. But now they're claiming, no, it could be the closest thing to another habitable planet like Earth.
Like that may actually be a thing. Ooh. And a professor at Penn State, Carl Pepperidge, is on the phone with us right now. We figured we'd try and find out some more about this. If there's another Earth-like planet, we would like to know. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Kevin and Bane. How are you?
We are good. How are you?
I couldn't be happier. It's so exciting. All these amazing discoveries we're making, don't you know?
Tell us about this particular planet. I believe it is Gliese 581d.
Yes, that's exactly. How did you know?
I'm reading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, first of all, it's Gliese 581d, and it's also its sister planet, 581g. These companion planets are very near each other, and we're getting signals, alien, mysterious signals from these planets, leading us to believe that they're actually habitable and may even be suitable for human life. How exciting is that?
That's very exciting.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
This is a first. Now, what kind of signals are you getting? What kind of – are you hearing things that make you think that? Or
we're getting strange, mysterious signals that can be tuned in much like radio waves.
Oh. Huh.
Now, initially – as the young lady there said, initially we thought these were caused by magnetic bursts from light or radiation.
Right.
From these 22 light years away is where these things are. But we've done more research in conjunction with some British researchers and some Australian researchers, and we've come to the conclusion that these are actually real signals.
Wow, this is very exciting.
I'm so excited! Are you as excited as I am?
Well, probably not, but I mean,
hardly.
I feel like I should be, and I may someday.
And so, think of the potential. This could be a place for human colonization. That a spaceship traveling from the planet Earth all the way 22 light years away could find a new home, a new beginning for life as we know it.
That's pretty exciting.
Starting to colonize throughout the universe, mankind spreading its wings, as you were, if you will.
And you were, if you will.
And you did.
Yeah.
Yes. Bruce couldn't be more excited. What? What's that? What? Hold on. What are my researchers saying? We're starting to get some more radio signals in here.
Oh.
Apparently, this is some sort of some alien radio program they've got on this planet.
Oh, very, very exciting.
And now it's time for our new segment, What's Up with Venus? Those crazy Venusians are at it again.
I don't even know what's wrong with those people. They live on Mars and they're all crazy.
Mars, it's Venus.
You know what I meant, stupid, dumb, absurd.
You know, today is the day where I go to Pluto to have breakfast.
Pluto is not even a planet anymore. It's just not even a planet.
Hey, don't say that. That's a very sensitive subject to me. I love Clyde Tombaugh.
Clyde Tombaugh goes around knifing everybody, stabbing people.
What? What are you talking about?
Nope. That's not Clyde Tombaugh. I was thinking of Screech.
He was the guy who discovered Pluto with the guy from Saved by the Bell?
I cannot help it. I have my head on Uranus.
We have to take a break now. We'll be right back with more of Chocolate Milky Way and the Lamb Dog Show.
It's wow. Unbelievable.
So it's not intelligent life.
No, not by any stretch of imagination.
106.7 KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51. Ralph Garman is here now. Time for a look at the showbiz beat.
I want to hear that alien show.
It sounded.
I don't want to hear this one.
It sounded very entertaining.
That
sounded
awesome.
To be honest.
Yeah. Those guys sounded good. Mm. They should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a Monday morning, and so on the showbiz beat, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Cinderella debuted to the tune of $70 million this weekend, making it number one by far. It's crazy. There's a story that's been around since the 1800s, 1700s? A long time.
A long time.
They've been telling a story about this.
I'm not sure 1700s, but...
I know about the 1700s.
A long time.
Why not?
That seems like a long time.
Let's do a little research and see when the story of Cinderella was first told. Because I believe it's like a German fairy tale from like the 1700s.
Well, I mean, I'm trusting you more than me on that one, so...
It's ancient. That's what I'm saying. It's ancient.
Right.
And,
Is it a tale as old as time?
It is a tale as old as time.
Okay.
The latest incarnation made $70 million at the box office this weekend, making it number one. Run All Night, the new Liam Neeson thriller, came in second with only $11 million. Then Kingsman, Focus, Chappie, the second Exotic Marigold Hotel. SpongeBob came in at number seven. McFarlane USA, American Sniper, and The Duff, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend.
Hey, Ralph.
Yes?
It's from a European folktale from 1634.
Ooh.
Wow!
There you go.
Boom.
Boom. Excuse me while I drop the mic.
Your Cinderella knowledge is concerning.
Well, most of those the fairy tales come from Europe way, 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 way back. All those.
All right.
Crazy Europeans, their nutty stories.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog, indeed. This is Scott Disick. He's just the worst. He's just the worst.
Yeah.
He, of course, is the baby daddy to Kourtney Kardashian from that Keeping Up with the Kardashians show. And what really bothers me is he keeps being horrible and then getting rewarded for it.
Yeah.
Story on TMZ today talking about what he makes per appearance at these nightclubs. He's doing a gig at the Crazy Horse Strip Club in Pompano Beach, Florida. They fly him out first class. They put him up in a hotel suite, treat him to a dinner at a local restaurant. And then on top of it, just to spend the night there and host the evening with a bunch of strippers, he gets $50,000. That's his payday. Come on!
To do what?
Just be
to
there.
Just to show up?
To be there.
That's crazy.
That's criminal. He should be brought up on charges.
So should the people going to the club just to see him. Boo to them.
No, what we do is we get them all in the club, and then we lock the doors.
I like
then calling a drone strike. Wow. And we take care of the whole problem.
Hellfire missile.
Dude, just it's one. Like it's like those things where they say, hey, they call up the criminals and go, hey, you want a free pancake breakfast? And they come down there
that's
and,
great.
And, right. and the cops are waiting for them. It's a big sting operation. This is how we lure all the douchebags to one location. You put Scott Disick in a strip club.
So good.
And the douches come a-running. And then it's like, but then it's like the Roach Motel. They check in, but they can't check out. Boom, problem solved. And it's Florida, too. Now all the only good things can come from destroying this place.
That has everything.
Really does. Tadop Switler's in the news. She showed off a photograph on Instagram over the weekend of a big scratch on her leg. A deep gash, if you will.
Did she get paid?
She didn't get paid.
Didn't she insure her legs?
She made a little joke, Kevin. She made a little insurance joke. Apparently her cat Meredith scratched her leg. And so she posted the picture with the caption, just trying to love you, Meredith, and now you owe me $40 million. See, because her legs are allegedly insured for
$40 Even million. Even her cat hates her.
I wonder which leg it was, though. One
of them is only one.
One's for a million, the other one's 39.
Oh, you.
She stabbed a guy.
Oh, I'm so tired of her.
Yeah, I'm kind of fed up, too. Hey, you know, we were talking about the American Horror Story, right?
Yeah.
Coming back, Hotel. Lady Gaga's already been cast. Found out over the weekend. Some more cast members. Matthew Bomer.
Oh, really?
From White Collar will be starring in the new season, along with Cheyenne Jackson, who you may know from 30 Rock. He also is going to be on that show. So that's good.
Sounds good.
Good casting right there.
That's always fascinating to see what story they're going to tell and with who.
Apparently, it looks like... Oh, damn. What's her name? Older actress, been around forever. King Kong. Postman Always Rings Twice. She's been in all of them.
Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange. Not participating in the next
season. Oh, really?
She won't be back.
She's been in a lot
of them.
She's
one of the few recurring actors from every season. Apparently, she's going to take a break. So she'll be missed. Also will be missed is Gene Patton. You may not know his name, but he was a stagehand at NBC back in the day, and he worked on a show called The Gong Show. And the producer, host Chuck Barris, saw him dancing badly to one side of the stage and, much like the Kevin and Bean show, celebrated the badness of that
by
pulling him out and putting him on stage and renaming him as Gene the Dancing Machine.
And they just played music for a while and let him dance.
He would dance and they would throw things at him on stage.
And then
it was a good time.
And then why, though?
I mean, then no one would ever explain why.
No reason.
He just went away.
I love it.
Passed away at the age of 82 years old. He's gone, so we'll miss him. Not that much, but...
I mean, really, it's been a while.
Really, it's been a while, but still. Seemed like a nice man. And did you see this story about Dennis Rodman?
No, I did not hear it either, but
I want to thank Russ Long, one of our listeners, who sent in this email. I did not realize what was going on. I said, I was watching the news this morning, and I saw that Dennis Rodman is visiting Kim Jong-un again.
Oh, that only bad can come from that.
This got me thinking, does this mean that Dennis Rodman is a commie?
Jeez, no.
It's deep! I woke up in a new Bugatti. That Dennis Rodman is a commie. That Dennis Rodman is a commie.
Points for brevity.
Yeah, he kept it tight.
I like
the long rambling.
It take like 8 minutes.
I like the rambling setups.
Yeah,
but Russ Long came in with hit you with the quick hard one right there. Today's celebrity birthdays: Blake Griffin from your L.A. Clippers, 26 years old today. Alexandra Daddario. She is a beautiful, talented actress. She is 29 years old. Alan Tudyk turns 44. I mentioned this project he's trying to get off the ground. It's a TV series called Con Man about a guy who used to be in a science fiction show and now just does the convention circuit. He is working alongside his partner from his Firefly days. Nathan Fillion is also going to be a part of this. And they're trying to raise the money to make this an independent internet television program. And I think they were trying to raise... $425,000 or something on Indiegogo or one of those sites. And in the first day, they raised $1.5 million.
Wow.
Well beyond their wildest dreams.
First 24 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Craziness. Lauren Graham is 48 years old.
Ding.
Sorry. My bad.
Victor Garber, 66. Eric Estrada is also 66 today. Actor, legend, comedian. Jerry Lewis celebrates his 89th birthday today. And Flavor Flav!
Flavor Flav!
Turns 56 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Flavor Flav!
The Lamb Dog. Lamb Dog back. With us here in the studio after a wild, wild weekend.
I didn't really
want
to come back.
Texas.
I got to be honest. I didn't want to come back at all.
Left Friday right after the show. Got on a plane. Went to Austin TX.
Wait, let me just tell you about the airport. I wasn't even going to tell you this part. I get to the airport like 10 minutes before the flight.
As you
thinking,
do.
Oh, no. I'm going to miss my flight. I was running through the airport. Get to the gate and the woman sees the little badge that I have because I was going to South by Southwest in Austin to do an interview thing with Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
And I had a little badge that said Jimmy Kimmel. And she said, oh, are you with Jimmy Kimmel? And I thought, I just need to get on the plane. I don't want to explain to her that I don't work with Jimmy, but I used to and I know him, blah, blah, blah. So I said, yeah, has the flight left yet? And she said, tell me all about the president, because President Obama was on last Thursday. And, of course, I wasn't there, so I saw it on TV, but so now I was just making stuff up. Oh, he was great, yeah. What was the security like? And I just kept thinking,
In fact, the president said, you should let me on this flight. It's a matter of national security.
I didn't even think of that. I was just like, give me a boarding pass, please. And she asked me, was the first lady there?
Oh, man.
I was like, yeah, she was there. I asked Jimmy later. He's
so
like,
much more polite
not
than
at all.
I was in that situation.
Well, it was weird because I just thought, like, that's the way to speed this process up so I can get on the plane. And then I ended up making up answers to 17 questions about the president, what he was like, and his staff and everything else. And I had no idea. So I get to Austin on a Friday night. And I think, you know what? It's been a long week. I'm pretty tired. I'll just lay down, take a little nap. Woke up about 11, because there's a lot of stuff going on in Austin, and I don't have a lot of willpower. So I got back up, and I went out, and at some point—
You're in bed at 11 o'clock at night. Why not just roll over? Just go back to sleep. Just get some sleep for once.
Because there's stuff going on.
It'll be there tomorrow.
I know, but when there's stuff going on, it's hard for me to— Okay, I could sleep, and I need sleep.
But look at that shiny thing over there.
but there's stuff going
on. Someone's jingling keys in front of me.
So I just walked out of the hotel, and I ended up, I don't even know the name of the place, but I was in a place, and Busta Rhymes was there.
What?
Yes. So I took a picture of Busta Rhymes.
It had to be a good place then if Busta Rhymes was there.
Was he rapping there or just hanging out?
Was he working there? Was he waiting tables?
No, he was on a mic. I'm very, very fuzzy about what happened with Busta.
What did you get?
But you were sober at that point.
No.
You
I wasn't
woke
sober.
Up from your sleep.
Yeah, but then I went to a bar and started drinking. And
then
in Austin, the thing about Austin is it's awesome because everything's so close.
Right.
You go from one place to the next. There's
it's like a campus. You're just walking around.
Yes, there's stages for bands and everything and music always going on. It's just great. So I ended up, it was like 2 or 3 a.m. with Busta Rhymes and I took a picture. I went back to the hotel. I was like, what was Busta doing? Like, I don't even know what the party was or where I was, but I thought, you know what? This is Friday night. I'm going to do the thing on Saturday, interview Jimmy, and then Saturday night, because I got to get up at like 9 to come back, I'll take it easy.
Right.
You're a liar.
So
yourself more than anyone.
No, I'm saying that's my plan.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You lie to yourself.
So I do the interview with Jimmy Kimmel at 5 to 6, and then we went out to dinner, and I was like, okay.
How about a little something with the thing that you were there to do? How about a little mention of that thing? Don't gloss over that. How was that? You and Jimmy
that was
on
awesome.
Stage.
It was just me and Jimmy.
And you interviewed about his career in life.
Yeah.
That's why you were there. And so Jimmy and me
from
says
five
then.
From 5 to 6.
Then we eat dinner and I'm at the bar. We would like to hear a little bit something about the event.
There's not as
the reason, the actual reason you were there.
There's not as much a story about that. It was an hour. There were about 2,000 people there.
How did it go? Did you
it
handle yourself
well.
Fine?
Did I handle myself well? Yes.
Great.
Although my memory really can't be trusted. So
that's
I would start telling a story, and then Jimmy would go, no.
Not how it happened.
He's been having fun correcting
and
you.
And he would correct me and go, it's funny that we would have you here because you can't remember anything.
That's funny.
So he would correct me. But anyway, it went on pretty – for a while, we took some audience questions, and it
great.
Was great.
Good. Okay.
So then I thought, all right.
Now we can get back to your drinking.
Okay. So now I'm thinking, okay, so I can go back to my hotel now. I'm going to do what's responsible, and I'm going to
no. –
Well, that's what I thought because last night I was up late, and I'm tired – So went out to dinner. Jimmy texted me. He's like, oh, we're having dinner. I was like, okay, dinner. you know, I'll eat dinner, then I'll come back and be good and hang out. So from there, we went to a bar, and the cast of Community was there at the bar. So Joel McHale was there, and Gillian Jacobs, and everybody was there. And Ken
Jeong. Awesome.
And Ken Jeong, who I love, came up to me, and we were talking and laughing, and it got to be, I don't know, one or something like that. And then, like, Jimmy ended up leaving. But there was this party that there's this place that you have to see. You have to see it. So I was like, well, it's one, but I don't have to get up till 9, so I'm good. So they drive you to the – in Austin, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. They drive you to – it's a neighborhood. They're just houses, just random houses. Nothing stands out about any of the houses. And they drop you off, and I was like, is this where I get killed? Like, I don't know what's going on right now. Somebody walks up, special knock on the door, and a guy opens it up, and you walk in, and he says, we're not open yet. It's about 1:30. They're not open yet. So you walk inside the house, and it's not a house at all. It's a long rectangular building that looks like a house from the outside from all of the neighbors, but it's a bar / like nightclub. And they have all these statues of Mother Mary, and they have candles that are lit everywhere.
This wasn't a nightclub, Kevin.
No, it was.
You were at church.
Yeah, you were in a Santeria cult.
It looked like a church.
You were there to be sacrificed.
It was one of the coolest places I've ever been. So now it's, I don't know, 2, and I'm thinking, well, you know what? I got to get back by 9, so maybe I should, you know, start heading back.
You don't even know where you are.
I had no idea where I was.
You were dropped off in the middle of a neighborhood.
And I was in a neighborhood where there were no cabs, by the way. I don't know what my plan was. I just thought that I should.
Who'd you go with?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You have no idea.
I'm not positive.
Was it Busta Rhymes?
It wasn't Busta
Rhymes. Was it you and Busta?
I'm not positive.
Did you do his hair before you guys left?
I don't remember if Jimmy was there at that point or not. I think Jimmy was there at that point.
Okay, so he may have got you there.
I think so.
All right.
So then, just before I leave, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis walk in.
Of course they do.
I'm in a house in Austin that's a nightclub, that's a bar, that's maybe a church.
Right. Maybe.
I'm not positive that I'm remembering this correctly. And so then Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis walk in. And then I swear to God, Mike Judge walks in. Now, that's the guy who did Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Right.
And King of the Hill.
Sure. Office Space.
So I was like, is that Mike Judge? This night just kept getting bigger. So I thought, you know, oh, I should leave at 2. But then Mike walked in. I was like, this is awesome. So then it was like 3.
Now you want to know who else is going to walk through the door.
I'm pretty sure that Jimmy had gone by then, but I was just having a great time. And then Jason Schwartzman walked in.
Love. I would have stayed.
I love him so much.
Would have stayed, yeah.
Right. And he likes our show a little too much.
He's a big fan.
And a huge fan of Ralph. We talked about Ralph for probably 45 minutes.
Oh, that's
Ralph's
nice.
Like, tell me more of this book. That sounds great.
So you got Ashton Kutcher, you got Mila Kunis, you got Mike Judge, you have Jason Schwartzman. And so now it's 3:30 or 4, and I got to get up at 9. I'm like, I should probably go back.
Unbelievable.
And then T.I. walks in. And I just was thinking at the time, like, this might be the strangest grouping of celebrities that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, that's South By, right? You get all different people from all different walks of life.
Got back to my hotel about 5:30-ish. Got up at 9, made my flight, came back sharp as a tack today. That would have been more effective if I didn't say shark.
Shark as a tap.
but that made me want to stay. I mean, that's a good time in Austin.
Yeah.
I need to go back.
Yeah. Is that why you rolled in here around 30 seconds before we started the show?
It's been a rough couple of days.
Yeah.
I should have got more sleep.
You should retire.
In Austin, though.
Yeah.
Because they have houses that are bars.
That are churches.
Where T.I. shows up. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36. Ralph Garman is here with a final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, how about tickets to see The Offspring?
Yay!
It's happening July 30th at the Pacific Amphitheater or July 31st at the Palladium. You get your choice. You can see him at the Pacific Amphitheater or at the Palladium. Tickets for both shows go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. But you won't have to wait till then. Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Let's say caller number 30, since the first show is July 30th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Caller number 30 at that number gets a pair of tickets to see The Offspring. They're a great band live. If you've never seen The Offspring, you will appreciate them. Chip, you still have your Offspring tattoo?
Yep.
Where is that again? Where is that tattoo? Right there on her forearm. There it is. There's Offspring, looking all Offspringy.
Yep.
She loves that band.
Restraining order. I mean, we don't shouldn't mention
right.
that.
How dare you?
They got that going for them.
Oh, Chip came strong at that one.
Don't mess with her Offspring, man.
I'm serious.
She would usually take you down.
How dare you? This is Pete. This is Pete.
As expected, Disney's live-action version of Cinderella came in at number one this weekend. $70 million it made. It's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
I wonder when that that fairy tale first started being told.
1644.
Oh.
I don't remember.
Shark is a tap, that one.
That's right. I am shark is a tap. Cinderella made $70 million in his debut weekend. Everybody went, including my wife and little girl, and they loved it. So there you go. Kenneth Branagh directed that. Did you know that?
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a real movie and everything. Run All Night, the new Liam Neeson film, debuted with $11 million, making it number two.
Also known as Liam Neeson just runs and shoots and kills people.
That's right. And Ed Harris tries to shoot him back.
Yep.
You didn't try and see it this weekend, right?
No.
You were busy hanging out with Busta Rhymes. By that picture, by the way, that you posted.
Worst
not,
picture ever?
Not Busta Rhymes.
Do you
the
think
way.
Not?
No.
They said it was. They introduced him as Busta Rhymes.
That
I'm pretty
maybe
sure.
Maybe it's the guy that ate Busta Rhymes, but it's not Busta Rhymes.
He's a little heavier than.
What happened to the crazy hair? The Busta Rhymes hair?
Look, I'm telling you what I remember.
I took
that photo.
Someone
and I
was
feel
kidding
like...
you. You said, "Who's that? Who's that black guy on stage?" And somebody said, "It's Busta Rhymes." You're like, "Oh, I'll take that to be fact."
That's
and you just
not
wrote
how
it down
at all.
You're just
how
so, such a sucker.
Dare you,
sucker?
How dare you?
Kingsman was third at the box office. Focus was fourth, and Chappie at number five. The Exotic, Marigold Hotel 2. Number six at the box office. SpongeBob was seven. McFarlane USA was eighth. American Sniper and The Duff. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, there's still rumors that Tyga and Kylie Jenner are a couple. People believe that he is not admitting to their relationship because he's 25 and divorced with a child and she is 17.
Wasn't this part of a larger beef with other people?
Yes, this beef... spurred on the Amber Rose beef, right?
Yes, that was part of it.
Because the other sisters got involved and they started shooting back and forth.
Chloe got involved.
Chloe got involved because Amber Rose, who is Kanye's ex, was slapping down Tyga for leaving China Black China,
wow.
His ex who he had the baby with, and so she was standing by her, and she said something about her with the thing, a whore, and then the other one said stripper, and pointing and throwing.
And it was on.
And then they all got left in this neighborhood, and they had a secret knock on a door, and there was a bar that looked like a church. It was a house with a rectangle. I may be off a little bit with some of the details. But it looks like Kylie Jenner has a diamond ring on her engagement finger.
Okay.
And Tyga showed a picture of that on his Instagram with the caption, "Certain things catch your eye, but only few capture your heart." Oh, well, he's just announced he's banging a 17-year-old pretty much. Doesn't he just announce that?
He announced that she captured his heart,
oh,
Ralph.
Not his penis.
It's not be crazy.
Penis? We're going to need that tape from earlier this morning, by the way. That was just... That was the lamb dog at his best.
Lamb dog.
Oh, yeah.
Lamb dog.
Lamb dog.
I may not have gotten the rest I needed over the weekend.
Nick Cannon, we were talking about his extensive back tattoo.
Yes.
It is Christ on the cross with the words, "Father, forgive them. They know that what they do." All over his back. 30 hours it took to do that tattoo. Now we know why he did it.
Ah, okay.
It was to cover up the giant back tattoo he had that said, "Mariah," all over his back, referring, of course, to his now ex-wife, Mariah Carey.
Sure.
So he had to cover that up with something, so he picked Jesus. And really, Jesus can fix all things.
I mean, that's not going to... He's not ever going to break up with Jesus, right?
That's for sure.
I think.
No, Jesus. That's a relationship that sticks with you.
I'm
right
just saying.
There. Yeah.
Shut up, Allie. Need your nonsense.
And Sylvester Stallone... He has got a new reality competition show in the works called STRONG.
It's not called Strong?
Nope. S period, T period, R period, O period, N period, G period. That, of course, spells out Strong, but it stands for Start to Realize Our Natural Greatness. And there'll be 6 men and 6 women looking to improve their fitness who will get trained by a team of trainers who specialize in strength and conditioning. And one by one, they will be eliminated until only one is left. The strongest will survive. Boom! That's a hit. It's a hit. I like
Strong.
It. I like it.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of preaching from him, a lot of motivational speaking.
Well, he's the producer. We don't know whether he'll be the host or not.
Right.
I pray to sweet Jesus in heaven. I pray to Nick Cannon's back that he will be the host. But it remains to be seen because I would
So you guys, who's going to lift the tire? You better lift the tire.
Every competition, I'm Sly out there giving them.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows.
That's true.
It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are.
Right.
It will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it.
Stay down on your knees, then?
Me or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Right, so I just stay down.
But it ain't about how hard you hit.
No?
It's about how hard you can get hit
and
keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
On my knees?
All right.
That's how winning is done.
Don't have to get up
off my knees. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth.
All right.
But you got to be willing to take the hits.
Yeah, the hits.
And not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody.
More importantly, her.
Cowards do that, and that ain't you.
That ain't you.
You're better than that.
All right.
Oh, I hope he's part of it.
Oh,
it
makes me strong now. Now I'm going on that show. I want to be the strongest I can be. I want to start to realize my own natural greatness. Today's celebrity birthdays, Eric Estrada. You know him as Ponch from Chips. One of the greats. Whatever happened to Eric Estrada? Where is he today?
I don't know.
I miss him.
If
you know Eric's whereabouts, let me know. 66 years old today. Victor Garber, talented.
It has to rhyme with Bugatti if you're going
to
email Ralph.
Victor Garber is 66 years old. Started out with a bunch of young actor, comedian types in Toronto, Canada. Doing a little show called Godspell. Victor Garber. He was Jesus in Godspell. And the rest of the cast, folks like Martin Short, Lorraine Newman, Eugene Levy.
Wow.
They all started out together. In Godspell.
The
Toronto production of Godspell. That was the cast. And it was a launching pad for all those guys. And Victor Garber went on to star in the movie of Godspell. He plays Jesus in that. And then, of course, we know him from Alias. And now he is half of Firestorm over on The Flash. This is probably more than you ever want to know about Victor Garber.
Yeah.
But I love him. He's 66 years old today. Jerry Lewis, the actor, director, comedian, legend, 89 years old. Lauren Graham is 48. Alan Tudyk is 44. Alexandra Daddario, True Detective, is 29. Just nobody's getting a bell anymore. Just forget it. Nobody gets a bell. Not on Kevin's watch. Nobody gets bells.
I'm a little harsher.
I forgot where I was. Blake Griffin is 26. And Flavor Flav! He is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning and on new Kevin and Bean Show. We have your passes for Get Hard. We have your passes for the movie Get Hard.
Oh, good. For a minute there, I don't know why I was getting hard.
Tomorrow morning, don't forget, we also have an opening act contest for the April Foolishness. And in 2 minutes of you being funny, we've got a lot of videos. We're going to go through some of them tomorrow.
We got some funny people
we
who
do.
Have given their tape. I mean,
we're going to end up getting an actual opening act, which is very exciting. April Foolishness is coming up on April 4th. And we also have Luke Robitaille from the Kings.
Oh,
the creator of
I have my own statue now. I don't need you no more. I spit upon you.
And we have the creator of iZombie, which starts tomorrow night. Very excited about that on the CW. We have Rob Thomas on the program tomorrow as well.